Okay, good morning. We're back again. We are a week after Pesach, Baruch Hashem, first year, Parsha Shir after Pesach. Welcome back, everybody. Today is Yom HaShoah Vagvura. We had a very special and unique program that took place here last night. It is a reminder, continues to be a reminder, that it is so important to hear stories from survivors as the generation in a short time, it's just not going to be with us anymore. And it is so important to continue to hear their stories from them. The recordings, thank God, will be there for a very long time. And we must continue to hear them. Last night, we had a very amazing program here where our survivor, we found it right after Yontif, passed away. He passed away on Achron Shel Pesach. It was a shock to his family and to his wife. And we didn't know what to do as a shul. It wasn't someone I was personally connected with. A good friend of mine, a rabbi, Rabbi Zev Goldberg, suggested the name Sol Graf. And what we decided is that his grandson, who was working on the speech with him just last week over Chol HaMoed Pesach, the family's in Shiva now for him, gave the speech over in first person. It was very powerful. And it was really, really beautiful, inspiring to see, again, a legacy being picked up by a grandson sharing a story from his grandfather. If anyone's interested in the recording, we should have the recording ready and available later today. And he wrote a small little book, also of his story, that I have a copy of. So if you want a copy of that, you can take myself or Larry Brodman. Larry made a copy for me, so I'm sure he can work that out with him. Let's begin. So I want to begin in that vein, with that mindset of today being Yom HaShoah, and share with everybody a very, very powerful story and a Gemara that I heard personally from one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, from his father. His father, this is an amazing book. It's really two different parts of the book itself. The book is called The Rabbi of Buchenwald. It's a biography about Rabbi Herschel Schachter. That is Rav J.J.'s father. He was a rabbi in the Bronx, a very, very prominent American rabbi, really a worldwide Jewish figure in the 40s, 50s, and 60s in the American scene. And the book is written by Rafael Medoff. And the book really recounts the stories. He was first a chaplain in the army, and he was the rabbi that liberated Buchenwald. And it really, the first 100, 130 pages of the book are about the stories that took place and his time there and his relationship with the survivors and everything he needed to do. And the second half of the book is really a lot, if you didn't know what was going on behind the scenes in World Jewry in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, that is really the second part of the book itself. But I want to share a story. It's in the book, but I want to share it the way that I heard it from his son, Rav J.J. Schachter. There's a former president of Bar-Ilan University was a man by the name of Rabbi Daniel Herskowitz. He was a rabbi, PhD, expert in math and science. He was actually, before he became the president of Bar-Ilan, he was a Rav Ha'ir, Rav in Haifa. And he was also the Tsar, the one in charge of the space satellites in Israel. Like, it's a genius, a geniuses, and a brilliant person, also a leader. He didn't just take, and he led the university for many, many years. And several years ago, he was speaking in the Jewish Center, in which Rabbi Schachter eventually became the rabbi. He wasn't the rabbi there at that time. And he was a scholar resident at Shabbos, rabbi scholar resident at Shabbos from Eretz Yisrael. So they were having a scholar resident from Eretz Yisrael that Shabbos. And it was Shalosh Shudas time. And it was Q&A. So they asked Daniel Herskowitz the following question. They said to him, why did you decide to dedicate your life to the Jewish people? What motivated you? It's a question it's a reasonable question. What motivated you to take this path? Space, math, he wrote about 20 or 30, he has a Wikipedia page, 80 articles of math. That's not somebody that necessarily dedicates your life to the Jewish people. You do your math thing, right? And then Rav Ha'ir, all these, what motivated you to become who you became? So he says the following story. He said, what motivated me is something that happened to my father. My father was in Buchenwald. My father was a survivor of Buchenwald. And my father had something amazing. Throughout his time in the concentration camps, he was able to keep his tefillin with him. Everywhere he went, the cattle car, wherever he went throughout his journey, he was able to sneak his tefillin in. He held it, you know, in secret, and he never got caught until a few weeks before liberation. A few weeks before liberation, he put his tefillin on every single day. A few weeks before liberation, his tefillin was gone. They stole it from him. Thank God they didn't kill him. They took it from him, and they got rid of it. And now Liberation Day comes. Rabbi Herschel Schachter comes. And he sees my father. And my father was 17 years old at the time. He only spoke Yiddish. And Rabbi Schachter walks over to him and he sees this young boy who is sitting down on the floor, and he looks despondent. Everyone else is relatively happy or looking to do things, and liberation happened. And what's the matter? And he starts speaking Yiddish, and Rabbi Schachter responds in Yiddish. And he says the following. He says, up until a few weeks ago, I was able to put on my tefillin every single day. Now I don't have a pair of tefillin. And Rabbi Schachter says, of JJ, they didn't bring tefillin with them. This wasn't that type of mission to Russia. They brought food. They didn't know what was going to happen, what they were going to see, what they're going to experience. That what later they brought tefillin, they brought gemaras, they brought different things, Sifrei Torah in the DP camps. They didn't have that then. So Rabbi Schachter takes out of his knapsack, out of his bag, his own tefillin. His own tefillin. And he says, here, take the tefillin. He gave up his mitzvah of putting on tefillin every single day for my father, he says. He says, you want to know why I dedicated my life to the Jewish people? It's because of Herschel Schachter. That's what he said in the Jewish Center, not knowing that his son was the previous rabbi in the Jewish Center. Rav J.J. Schachter said, right after Shabbos is over, I knew it was a Chal Shudas, right, Shabbos is over, I got 10 phone calls from 10 different congregants telling us a story. So Rav J.J. said something amazing. He said, my father always told us a Gemara that he felt connected to the survivors, and now I understand it in a deeper way. His father only passed away several years ago. I think he wasn't really there. And he said, this is unbelievable. He says that this Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, the Gemara tells us about the dry bones, this unbelievable prophecy that we read in the last day of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara tells us that the Nevuah from Yechezkel HaNavi, that there are dry bones in the Valley of Dura that are eventually going to become alive again. The Atzmos Yeveshos are going to become Atzmos Hachayim. They're going to live again. And the Gemara, and the Gemara is very, very vague. Obviously, it represents something messianic on some level, that in the future, something is going to happen, Tchias HaNesim perhaps. And the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin wants to know, who are these people? Who are these people that are dry bones and come back to life? So the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin tells us the following. Rav Elazar Beno Shel, Rav Yossi HaGlili, the Gemara says, Rav Elazar says, Mesim Shehechia Yecheskel, Amdu Al Raglehem, V'amru Shira Umesu. The first opinion is, Rav Elazar writes, who are these people that Yecheskel brought back to life? They are people that they got up, they sang Shira to Hashem, and they died. They weren't part of our historical narrative. We don't know who they are, but at one point in life, they were brought back to life. They lived for a short while, and they died. They sang Shira, and they died. The next opinion is from Relazar, the son of Reus Yehudi, who says, no. Mesim Shehechya Yecheskel, who are these people? Alul Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael. Vunasu Nashim. They got married. They had families. Vaholidu Banim Abanos. And they developed families and they propagated the land of Israel. So Rabbi Herschel Schachter used to say all the time that this really is telling us about the survivors of the Shoah. They were literally dry bones. They were physically living, but they were dead. They were atzmos yevashos. And there are three categories of individuals that survived. There are some, he says, they got up, they said, thank you. And then a short while later, they died. Whether physically, spiritually, emotionally, there was nothing inside of them. We can't judge them for who they were. Hitler, Yimach Shemo, took that away from them. But they were essentially, they didn't add anything afterwards beyond their survival. The second opinion says, you know who these people were? They made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. They made a life for themselves in Eretz Yisrael. They got married. They had children. They weren't necessarily religious, but they gave back to the world in some type of way. They contributed. They may have done great things, but ultimately they were secular. We don't judge them, nor do we blame them for how they ended up. And we see how this Gemara is prophetic into our day. And then the Gemara has a last line that Rav J.J. Schachter says, I never understood when my father says this until I heard this story from Daniel Herskowitz. The Gemara then adds one last line. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Beseira al Raglav. They were learning this Gemara in Yeshiva. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira got up on his feet and he said the following. Ani mi b'nei b'neihem. I am one of the grandchildren of these survivors of Yecheskel HaNavi, the Atmos Yevashos. The halavu tefillin sheheniach li avi abba mehem. And the tefillin that I wear are the tefillin that my grandfather wore. So Rav Herschel Schachter used to say that this third level represents those that regardless of the atrocities that happened to them throughout their lives, that are unimaginable, there's a third category of individuals that survived and religiously thrived. They continued to wear the tefillin. They continued to keep Shabbos. They continued and they built yeshivas and kolels and day schools and Jewish communities and mikvaos throughout the world. Representing my grandfather was one of them, and these are his tefillin. So Rabbi Schachter, the son, reflected and now understood this Gemara on a deeper level when he heard this story about his father. His father was the one that gave the tefillin to Daniel Herskowitz's father. And Daniel Herskowitz, many years later, is saying, why did I dedicate my life to the Jewish people? Why did I become the rabbi in Haifa? Why did I become help at Eretz Yisrael on so many different levels? The president of Ireland, et cetera, et cetera. These are his tefillin. Because there was a man named Herschel Schachter who gave up his tefillin. Right? Do you understand that? That means he gave up his tefillin for my grandfather. And these are them. When he got bar mitzvah, he made sure to wear the tefillin of his father on that day that he got bar mitzvah. And Rabbi Schachter tells a story about how he ended up going to Eretz Yisrael to track down those tefillin and put them on for himself with the bracha. To keep on that tradition, that mesorah from his father. So that's how I want to frame this morning, share that story with you. Story that I think needs to be shared and told again and again. The sacrifice on so many different levels of the survivors and what they went through to hide the tefillin, to keep that there. How this Gemara really shares a frame for the survivors and really reflect on that on so many levels. That's the first thought for today. It's not an acharei mos, but really acharei mos means after the death. After the, right? What comes after? What's the next parsha after acharei mos? If you're in Israel right now, it's kedoshim, right? So the darshanim say acharei mos. Kedoshim really represents the time that we're in right now. Acharei mos kedoshim is the time period that we're in right now. And that's the second idea that I'm going to continue with over here. And this is from Vayikra Yudches Gimel. Parsha Acharei Mos really has two major themes in the Parsha. Acharei Mos begins with the laning and the story and the halachos of what day?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Thank you, Rabbi Hirshhorn. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. That's really the first part. We lane Acharei Mos and Yom Kippur. It tells the entire Seder Avodah on Yom Kippur. The second part of Acharei Mos is the arayos, is the illicit relationships that are prohibited to the Jewish people. That's the second part. The way that the Gemara, the Torah frames this, the arayos, is with the following pasuk. The Torah tells us, "Kima'asei eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo tasu." You shall not follow in the ways of the Egyptians, in which is the land that you lived in. Ukamaisa eretz Kanan asher anime v'yaschem shama lo tasu, and like the people in Canaan that I'm going to bring you to their land, don't follow in their ways. We've been learning about their ways in our Shoftim Shir. Ubechukoseyam lo seylechu, and you shall not follow in their ways. So ask the Kli Yakar that this Rabbi Chaim of Lunchitz, he was a Rav in Prague after the Maharal of Prague. They put up a statue for the Maharal. They didn't put one up to Kli Yakar. He was a great rabbi also. So the Kli Yakar asked the following question. This pasuk is very repetitive. Don't follow the people of Mitzrayim, in which you were in. Don't follow Canaan, which you're going to. And don't follow their ways. So why don't we just do this very simply? Don't follow in the following people's ways. Canaan and Mitzrayim. Done. Done. No? Let's conserve some words. So what is the deeper meaning? And Chukasem Losadeh, we learned so many halachos out from this pasuk. So says the Kli Yakar something very, very beautiful. He says that this pasuk is not referring to, the first two halves are not referring to emulating the ways of the Egyptians in the land of Egypt and the Canaanites in the land of Canaan. That's not what it's. Don't emulate your ancestors when they were in Egypt, and don't emulate your ancestors when they were on their way to Canaan. What does that mean? When we were in Egypt, there are many of us that, what are we saying? We don't want to leave. And when we were in the Midbar, many of us said, even though the ones that left, what are we saying? We want to go back. And those that were in the Midbar, we said, we don't want to go to Eretz Canaan. We want to stay, maybe the Midbar is more comfortable. We had the man, we had the be'er, the anani kavod. Things were a little bit easier. So on one level, you learn that we are never usually happy where we are, and we're always looking at yesterday as like the better place. It's more comfortable, it's nicer. But here he says something very, very beautiful. He says, this pasuk is ma'ashim es b'nei Yisrael, accuses the Jewish people. Why do we need to leave Egypt? Let's live here. So what did Hashem need to do? Hashem needed to force us out of Mitzrayim. Again, some of us wanted to leave. But this pasuk is focusing on those that did not want to leave Egypt. Let's stay here, get rid of the Egyptians, and we'll stay in the land of Egypt. Hashem needed to force us out. Bal Korcha. And then again, when we went to Eretz Israel, Eretz Canaan, Hashem needed to mevi eschem. He needed to force us in because it was so comfortable somewhere else. So he writes that this is a warning, right? So many of us came into Eretz Israel because we had no choice anywhere else. Thank God we had Eretz Israel. We went to Eretz Israel because we were running away from other places. The Jewish people have two options. We can go into Eretz Israel because we're being chased out of every other country. And that is something we've experienced throughout our entire life, entire history, that Jews throughout history, just think back to the Gemara that we just learned together, the Shoah and Inquisitions, et cetera, where we were just running and fleeing from the czars, the shahs of the world, and we needed to get there. But there's a way that we can get there, which is not like that. And that is going komimiusli artzenu. Going into Eretz Israel, standing up straight and walking in, because that's where we decide to make our home. That's what this pasuk is warning us about. That don't follow in the ways of our ancestors. And this is a reminder that that can happen to us just as much as it happened to them. We should take advantage of the historical time that we are in and go to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, standing up and not running away from everybody else. This is especially, I think, poignant in the time that we're in right now, when we go from Yom HaShoah this week to Yom HaTzmut and Yom HaZikaron next week, and how the contrast there is even starker. Even, you know, over 70 years later, it becomes that much more starker. And Baruch Hashem, over 50,000 people made Aliyah since, I think, 2001, maybe even more. I think it's more than that. But it's well more than 50,000 people. And that's something that we need to think about. We'll be celebrating Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmut here in the shul. We're showing an amazing film that just came out about Menachem Begin's life, the brief tekes in the shul. Details will be going out today. But that is what the Kli Yakar is sharing with us. And then the last part of the pasuk, Ubechuk Oseim Lo Seilechu, that's just going on, that don't follow in the ways of the, you know, the Gentiles who inhabit the lands. And that's how he understands the entire pasuk. Yeah, Mendy.
So whenever I move five to low, I always look out of the article to make sure I spell the pasuk correctly in English.
Okay.
I opened up, it says here Afra. Is there any reason why it doesn't say Afra in most? If you look at the
article, it's a parshas Acharei.
It says parshas Acharei.
I don't know. It's Mendy asked why. In Art School writes it's parshas Acharei and not Acharemos. It could, I don't know. It could be they have a policy that they only use one word for a parsha. I don't know. They use, okay, well, look at Chayesara. One second. It's Chayesara. You're right. It's not a policy. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was known in his Sichos. I could check it out when I get home. He would darshan the name of the parsha. He felt that it had significance because not every parsha is word of the pasuk, you know. So we can go there and we can look if he has anything. Yeah, okay, maybe there. Yeah, Chaye Sara is different than Acharei Mos. Fair point. Yeah.
Baba.
Oh, Nathan. Sorry, not Peter. Nathan. Yeah. He's on the side of the screen. Go ahead, Nathan.
Well, we know there's no extra words in the Torah. So why does Hashem tell Moshe the Be'er El Aaron Oshiko? Why the word Oshiko? What do we learn from that?
The Torah says that Be'er El Aharon Achicha, I think we can agree that we all know at this point in the Torah that Aaron is his brother. So I would suggest, Nathan, and it's a great question, this is just my suggestion, is that, so Hashem is telling Moshe to share a list of mitzvos, commandments, with Aaron. Now, when that is taught over, Moshe as a teacher, as an educator, as a mechanich, right, as a Rebbe, so it's given over in a certain way. I would say it's a little cult, right? It's given over and it's black and white, very clear halachos, but it's all couched within one halacha. Aaron, you have to understand, you as being Kohen Gadol, you can't just randomly walk into the Kodesh Kedashim. There is a way to do it. In fact, the Vilna Gaon has a Mesorah. There's a Mesorah that's quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And many Svarim quote this, that Aaron HaKohen didn't only have access to the base, the Kodesh Kedashim, once a year. Once a year, he had a mitzvah that he had to go into the Kodesh Kedashim on Yom Kippur. But if Aaron wanted to access the Kodesh Kedashim, he could do it any time of the year. How did he do it? He followed the Seder Avodas Yom Kippur. It's like an escape room, right? Lahavdil. Has anyone here been to an escape room? No, you should go. It's a lot of, we should do an 8-tap escape room. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I've been there.
You've been there. We can have two different teams, who gets out, whoever doesn't get out has to stay there for Shabbos. I think it'd be really great. And there's a lot of puzzles that you need to like do to decipher, and you have to go from one to the next, and you have to go in order. Even if you notice a puzzle it doesn't work until like you get to a certain point. So that's Seder of the Avodas Yom Kippurim. That's the way my mind thinks. It works in a very similar way, that things need to be done in a certain order. You can't go out of order. Like maybe one thing you can go out of order, but otherwise you have to restart again. And so Aaron had a key to unlock the ability to go into Kodesh Kedashim, and that was through the Avodas Yom Kippur. Now, why did these psukim need to be shared right now? Because his children didn't listen to this. His children, right, they went in unannounced, unwarranted, and they died. And we can give over these laws to somebody in a very cold way. So perhaps Hashem is sharing with Moshe, you need to teach this, and maybe we need to teach all Torah this way. It needs to be done with empathy and with compassion. And it's not only, it's going to be heard no matter what. He's Aaron. He's Aaron Cohen. But please do it. Understand, his sons, he's reeling. You never lose. You never forget about children that died. They're always in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind. And please have that in mind as you share this Torah with them. Thank you, Nathan. That's a great question. That is my suggestion to the answer.
That's a great answer, Rabbi. Thank you very much.
Okay, got it. Okay, next thought comes from a sefer called Likuti Basar Likuti, which is written by Rabbi Shmuel Alter. And he says the following. A few of the ideas we had were a little bit longer today. It's a short idea. He says that part of the main Avodas Yom Kippurim is the two Se'irim, the Seir LaZazel and the Seir LaShem. And the Mishnayos and Maseches Yuma are very clear that they need to be very similar, to the extent that the Midrashim even say they need to be twins. But they need, it's not so complicated. Animals give, you know, their multiple personal time, but they need to look exactly alike. They need to weigh the same amount, be exactly alike. And what's the message here? Right, this has bothered everyone from the Ramban up to Rashi and everyone throughout the generation. What's the message here that they need to look exactly alike. Ultimately, there are lotteries, and one goes Lashem, and one gets pushed off a cliff, La'azazel. So he says the following, that this teaches us that sometimes two people on the outside look exactly the same. Look, they're both smiling. Look, they both went to the same yeshivas. Look, they both, they're neighbors. They look down the block from each other. But we don't know what's going on inside of them. Right? We don't know what is their inner world. While they might look exactly, they may even live in the same house, may look and present the same way, whether it's two children that you have, whether it's two people in shul, that you just equate the same way because of where they grew up, how you know them, etc. This reminds us that we are much deeper than our outer appearance. And maybe emotionally, spiritually, one of them is Lashem, and one of them, Lo Aleinu, is La'azazel. And that is important for us in how we approach every individual in our lives. While the Se'irim Bechitzonios, they are Shavim, they are equal, that is not true necessarily in their Pnimius. That is a suggestion of Likuti Basar Likuti. Yeah.
Very thin line of life. 1 minute we go in this direction, the next minute that happened. Over here, you can go in.
Yeah, 1 minute. Okay, great. Great. Love it. Mandy suggested something else, which is a great idea. 1 minute you could be Lashem, and the other La'azazel, and that doesn't mean that you, to any fault of your own. That's the lot, literally, that God has dealt us. Sometimes, you know, we look at two people and you're like, wait, how'd that person become, you know, extremely wealthy? And this person, you know, and they had the same job. They went to the same schools. Mazel. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted this for this person and that for that person. Right? And okay, great point. Great point. Last thought from Pes Zayin, Yud Zayin. The Torah tells us that when the Kohen Gadol is in the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Chol Adam lo yeb o amoe bevo lechaper b'kodesh ad seiso v'chiper bado b'abeiso v'ad kol adas Yisrael, says the Torah that nobody shall be in the Ohel Moed when the Kohen Gadol comes to bring the atonements in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Meaning, when the Kohen Gadol goes to the Kodesh HaKodashim, nobody is allowed to be present in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Azara, yes, but not in the Heifam. That's the halacha. The Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, what do you mean, Chol Adam Lo Yeba Ohel? To teach us that even angels, even Malachim, can't be there. So what does that mean? That Malachim, like obviously, people can't be there. Angels can't be there. So the Yismach Moshe, one of the Moshe Teitelbaum of Ihel, I think one of the Hasidic Rebbes, says that this is teaching us that the difference between angels and people, Malachim and Anashim. Anashim, right, can get to that level. What the Kohen Gadol represents is all of our ability spiritually to reach that height, to connect with God on a very sublime level. That's something that all of us have the ability to do and to accomplish. Masha'enkein, an angel. An angel, while they may start out holier than us, they are called omdim. They are where they are, and they're stuck there the rest of their lives. So this is showing us and highlighting to us where we can achieve the Kodesh HaKodashim versus everybody else. And really, why do we need to leave and be out of the Heichal for him? to show that every person on their own can achieve this. Every person on their own can achieve this through their own growth and their own accomplishments and own achievements. Angels can never get them. So just to review, we had five thoughts on Parshas Achrimos and Yom HaShoah. The first thought was about the Atzmos Yaveshos, the amazing story with Rabbi Herschel Schachter giving his tefillin to Daniel Herskowitz's father in Buchenwald. The second thought was from the Kli Yakar, describing and depicting how the Jewish people always complained about leaving the places that they were to go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, there are two options how we can get to Eretz Yisrael, and we should choose one over the other. We discussed Nathan's question about why does the Torah say Aaron Achicha and not just Aaron? And numbers 4 and 5 were why the two Seirim, and why doesn't Yerushalmi need to tell us that the Malachim don't belong there? I apologize if you hear the jackhammer in the background. It's beautiful noise to our ears here at Shomrei Torah, because this represents the Fairlawn Mikvah's refurbishment. So it is very, very exciting. A little bit annoying probably if you're hearing the recording, but very, very special to hear that in the background. Wish everybody a great day and a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.